Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Get ready for the Cards and Colorado Rockies tonight. Amron Total Access 550. First pitch 6:45. Hear it here on your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals. KMOX.
Yeah, Rockies in town. Couple things Cardinals related. It is KMOX Cardinals Hall of Fame week. I have Bruce Sutter coming up a little bit later this afternoon. Ray Lankford tomorrow. I know Ray's going to be in town for the Hall of Fame ceremonies this weekend over at Ballpark Village and Busch Stadium, so that'll be fun. We have John Rooney at 4:20 this afternoon. The state treasurer of Missouri, Scott Fitzpatrick, is with me in the studio this afternoon. Scott, how are you? Welcome to KMOX.
Hey, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
This is the first time I think that you and I have met in person. You had a, I guess you would say like an unusual transition into this job because there was some chess match stuff going on with, this all started with Eric Greitens leaving office, I think it's fair to say. But, you know, the official state office holder of the Mark Reardon Show is Eric Schmidt, who had moved into a role as attorney general that opened and created the role for you.
Yeah, I talked to Attorney General Schmidt earlier today, and
I put him on the map. You know, he would tell you that too.
He
would be nothing if not for the Mark Reardon Show. I think he knows that, Scott.
I think he probably does.
No, he's a good guy. I like Eric a lot, and I've said this often because I think he's. And I don't know you, so I'm not putting you in this group. But he's kind of rare in politics because he's a real guy. He's still. Has a sense of humor. He's not acting any differently than he was before he was state treasurer, before he was attorney general, and I really like that about him. So, and he's a good principled guy. So I like Eric a lot.
I'm in the same camp. He's a great guy, and I've enjoyed getting to know him. He was in the Senate when I was in the House for a little while, and then became the treasurer. And I've called on him several times as he transitioned to the attorney general's office as I was figuring things out, and he's always been very, very helpful.
So you are, how old are you? I usually ask guests
it's fine. I'm 31.
31 years old, state office holder. Are you in record territory there at all?
I don't think so.
Matt Blount younger
than
that?
Yeah, I think he was like 28 or 29 when he ran for Secretary of State. So he's young. I don't know. I may or may not be the youngest treasurer in Missouri, but I'm not sure. Honestly, I haven't done the research.
But that's pretty young to be a state office holder.
Yeah, I think that we can all agree on that. It is relatively young.
Do you have, before I ask you something specific to the office, we'll talk about the 529 plan, and I know unclaimed property is always a big role of the treasurer. This special session that the governor is calling over the rural car sales, can you explain that? Because I think I have a grasp of it, but it would be helpful for those people who are confused out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so from what I understand, there was a case that worked its way through the court, and the Supreme Court decided that, I think it was called Kellenbrink, versus Director of Revenue, and I think the Supreme Court essentially clarified for us that when somebody trades a car in, right, you get a sales tax credit. If you trade a car in for a new car, the trade-in value of the car you traded in is discounted from the sale price.
Yeah, so if you're buying a $30,000 car, but you're trading something in that is $10,000, then you're paying the sales tax on the difference, on the
$20,000. Right, $20,000, pay sales tax on $20,000. And what's come up is that sometimes people will have multiple vehicles that they sell and want to claim a credit for the value of both of those vehicles.
Yeah, so you got two, you got one car, and then you got a beater, and both combined are $5,000 or $8,000 or something
sure.
like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And so the court clarified that you could only use a credit from a single vehicle or boat or trailer or boat motor as a credit against the trade for tax purposes. And so that is a departure from practice that's been employed by the Department of Revenue in the past. And the governor, and I think rightfully, decided to take advantage of the period of time that the legislature will already be in Jefferson City for the special session and get that rectified so we can get back to the way it was and people are able to not have to pay sales tax on money that they shouldn't have to pay sales tax on.
Just a quick fix based on that Supreme Court decision, which seems to make a lot of sense. I didn't realize that affected as many people as it's said to affect, like 3,000 people in rural Missouri or in outstate Missouri. What's the condition right now? One of the stories last year, and I can't remember, I think maybe I had you on talking about the withholding tables and the revenue coming into the state, which was way off last year, even to the point, I think, earlier this year. That has not been something that I've even thought about in a while. Does that mean it's sort of rectified?
Yeah, we kind of figured out what the issue was. A lot of it was everybody thought the Department of Revenue made a mistake. You know, the driver of why the revenue was so off was just a timing change based on kind of the way the federal and state tax laws work together on how money was withheld from paychecks. And so what it did was it shifted more of the instead of people, a bunch of people getting refunds, their withholdings were more level throughout the year. And so the state wasn't collecting as much throughout the year from people. But then at the end of the year, we didn't pay out as much in refunds. So it kind of balanced out towards the end of the year. And we've kind of adjusted for that in our cash flow models and everything. So things are going well for the state now in terms of cash flow. I think the economy in the state's strong. So we're not seeing, I mean, I think we're up. You know, yesterday we were up probably 8% for the year.
But some of the numbers, I mean, when you looked at them monthly, even sometimes weekly by weekly, those revenues were down significantly, which I think gave a lot of people pause.
Yeah. The first 2 months of the fiscal year, the state's fiscal year runs July through June, right? So the first 2 months of last fiscal year, we were down like 10%. And in state budget terms, that's a catastrophe.
Yeah, right.
That was a big deal, but everybody felt confident, you know, that, hey, we just got to get through this period of time and things will level out. And it did. And things are looking good so far for this year. The economy is still strong and revenue is doing well. So we're not too worried right this second.
Missouri State Treasurer Scott Fitzpatrick is in the studio with me this afternoon. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with a little more here in a moment on KMOX.
St. Louis's weather station, KMOX.
Baseball Hall of Famer and Cardinals Hall of Famer Bruce Sutter in the next hour at 3:20 on KMOX. State Treasurer Scott Fitzpatrick is in town right now making the rounds. Haven't met him in person until today. You've been in this job for how long now? How many months?
Let's see, about 7 months, middle of January to middle of August.
So what's the focus mainly in the office? I know that when Eric would come in here, we talk about the 529 plan. That's a big part of your responsibility as state treasurer, right?
It is, yeah. We run the 529 plan, and you know, it's an important program, especially with, you know, everybody, with all the student debt talk, you know, to try to encourage people to start planning for college early. So that's a huge focus for the office. It's actually one of the reasons we're in town today. We're going to be at CBC High School tonight at 6 o'clock talking about 529 and especially kind of trying to educate people on the new allowance for K-12 expenditures for tuition there.
What are those? I mean, I'll be aware.
Yeah, so and you know, when the Tax Reform Act of 2017, Tax Cut and Jobs Act passed, one of the components of that was a change that allowed 529 accounts, which have historically been used to save for college, to be used to pay private school tuition.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I did hear a little bit about this.
So, you know, it's something that still a lot of people aren't familiar with, but we want to try to educate people about it because there's a lot of people out there paying private school tuition. If they're not using a 529 account, they're basically just burning, you know, 5.5% of their money because you get a state tax deduction.
So if you, in theory, if you would dump enough of your money into that when your kids are really young, you might have tuition help for high school and for college.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can start using it at kindergarten, but you can use it all the way through high school and in college. And, you know, we encourage people to do that. Some people are already maxing out. You can put $16,000 a year into a 529 account, get a state tax deduction for that. Some people are already maxing that out, saving for college, and are paying tuition on top of that. But it's really, we're trying to focus on the people who may not have the income where they can save a lot right now, but they're still paying tuition. We're trying to get people to understand that, you know, using this as a tool to save you money on taxes, and you should definitely use it if you can.
What about, and this is something I think I even saw the ads in the Post-Dispatch a couple of months ago for unclaimed property. That's one.
Yeah.
That always baffles me that there are so many people out there that have things that sort of fall through the cracks and they, I guess, are held in ownership by your office, right, or by the state.
They are. It's unbelievable. We have $1 billion of unclaimed property. We get $100 million.
$1 billion.
A billion with a B. And we get about $100 million in every year in new unclaimed property.
And give me an example of some of the things that come in.
You get uncashed checks is a big part of it. So people, like, leave a job and there's a paycheck that they didn't get or didn't cash is supposed to be turned over to us. We get life insurance proceeds. You know, I had a lady who moved and she was getting dividends from stock that she owned mailed to her old address. She forgot to have her address changed for the dividends. The checks never got cashed. They came over to us. It's just a lot of different, you can get, if you move and you had a deposit with a utility company and you close your account and they sent you your deposit back, you didn't get that. It's just unclaimed financial assets. Sometimes it's bank accounts. And we also get safe deposit box contents. We get about 1,000 safe deposit boxes every year turned over to us that we have to inventory. And obviously there's a lot of interesting things in those. So
yeah, can we just do like a reality show about that? Because I bet that would be fascinating.
Yeah, I actually think we got contacted by a group that's like wanting to do an unclaimed property reality show. And you know, the thing is we if we don't return stuff, we typically after about 5 years we'll take it to auction because we run out of space. You know, you have 5,000.
Where is it? Is it like a big vault or something?
We have a vault in the basement of the Truman Building in Jefferson City where we keep all the physical unclaimed property. Mm-hmm. And so it's all locked up in there. And you know, obviously we like to be able to return as much of it as possible, but sometimes you just can't locate the people.
It's pretty easy right now. I mean, for someone listening, they can just go online and see if their name's up there. Right?
Absolutely. Yeah. If you 1 in 10 people have unclaimed property in the state. So, you know, there's a 10% chance you've got unclaimed property. I think it's, you know, because it seems like everybody I meet has some. So it's like, you know, I think it's probably higher than that. But you just go to the treasurer's website, treasurer.mo.gov or showmemoney.com, whichever one you like better. And you type in your name at the top. There's a search bar. Type in your name. You can type in your brother's name, your sister's name, your parents' name. And a lot of people don't know that even if their parents had unclaimed property and their parents passed away, they can still claim that property. You know, usually the estate goes through probate or there's something in place that
sure
would allow people to claim that property. So I just encourage everybody to look at that.
So I'm just thinking through some of this from the standpoint of the progression of the property. I'm guessing it is a legal requirement for companies or banks or anyone else if they cannot track the person down that they have to turn that over to you?
Yeah. So it's typically if you have an inactive account or an uncashed check or somebody hadn't paid rent on their safe deposit box for typically it's 5 years is what the most common number is, then the institution holding that property is required by state law to turn it over to us. And so when we receive that property, we entered into a database. We have some staff in our office that do proactive research, actually trying to locate people on the larger accounts. And then we send out postcards. We are required by law to put it in the paper. So we do advertising to try to locate.
Hey, it's the only advertising the Post-Dispatch pretty much gets these days. So they appreciate our tax dollars at work.
Yeah.
State Treasurer Scott Fitzpatrick. Sorry, I can't help myself.
With some
blows over there to my friends at the Post. Let's talk politics just a little bit because you stepped in here for Eric. That would mean that you would, if you so desire, would be up for re-election next year, right?
That is correct. Yeah, 2020 is the year. So the term that I was appointed to serve ends at the end of next year. And so
Have you declared that you're running?
Anybody who asks me, I tell them my plan is certainly to run.
But you haven't officially kicked it off or anything like that.
I think there's an order to the mayhem. I think that'll take place where, you know, I think everybody's anticipating the governor announcing his reelection, and hopefully I think that'll occur sometime early next month. And I would expect some of us other statewide will officially declare our intentions. I don't know. It's always been a goofy thing about politics.
Right.
I've never really understood. It's like, are you running? Have you declared your running?
Yes, it has to be. Well, look, I just talked about Joe Walsh earlier this hour. In one interview today, he said, I'm considering it, I haven't ruled it out, and then it was I'm considering it, and now it looks like he's running. So it only happens in a few hours sometimes.
Yeah, it's quite the evolution.
How do you look at this role as state treasurer compared to your time in the legislature? Because that can be a bit of a madhouse there, but you were in the majority, which makes it a little bit more fun.
I was, I was in the majority, and I got to serve as the budget chairman, which I really enjoyed doing. And it was I really had a good time in the legislature. Nice thing is, I still got a lot of great friends in the legislature. There are a lot of good folks that are working on good policy, and I'm kind of a policy wonk in certain areas. And so I've had an opportunity to weigh in on certain policy areas that I'm interested in, and I'm still close with people working on the budget.
What would the policy areas be? Would that be, for example, the low-income tax credits?
Yeah, low-income tax credits is definitely one of the things that I engaged in pretty strongly during the session. But also the budget. You know, I really enjoyed the budget, and still have a great relationship with a lot of the folks on the budget committee and was able to work with them on things throughout the year as well.
Well, thanks for coming in here. I know you're spending a little time in St. Louis. State Treasurer Scott Fitzpatrick, who was talking about the Most 529 plan. Easiest way to find out this information is just on the website.
Yeah, treasurer.mo.gov we have access to all the programs in the treasurer's office, including Most.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Scott. I'm glad to meet you in person. And should you declare at a certain point, whenever that is, we'll certainly talk about that as we get into the next year as well. Scott Fitzpatrick, thanks for swinging by here this afternoon. As we get to the top of the hour, Carol's going to have all the top stories of the day. When we come back, you know, Brian Kelly from our newsroom had a pretty cool story about these guys out there, many, many men who are over 50 who are getting their first tattoo because of the St. Louis Blues, and he went out to a tattoo shop, so I'm going to have Brian chime in on that. Bruce Sutter coming up at 3:20. It is KMOX Cardinals Hall of Fame week. Who have I had? Ozzie Smith. Dave, who else have I had here this week? I can't remember. Ray Langford's coming up tomorrow. We had Ozzie. We had Jimmy Edmonds. Mike Shannon. How can I forget Mike? Yeah, so then we got Bruce today and Ray Langford, who, by the way, that dude is cut. I saw him at the golf tournament a few weeks ago. You got a lot of fat former athletes out there. They look not very good. Ray's looking very good, living down in Florida, taking great care of himself. So he's coming up tomorrow after the roundtable on KMOX. Hang in there. Second hour coming up.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.